So today, I can find my notes here. Hopefully I've got the right one. Yes. I'm going to talk about the great trade. And now, David's family, from both sides actually, is from New England. And the mother's family is largely from New York. From Boston. And so when we say to them, the great trade, they all know what it means. It means the babe. Now, I would just say this, that unfortunately, from our perspective, they did get back at us a couple years ago, for those of you that remember, the greatest comeback in playoff history, sadly. For the Yankees, of course. First, we look at it as the greatest collapse in baseball history, but whatever. But actually, today's portion involves the great trade. Now, David mentioned, he mentioned it actually in his in the reciting of the Torah, and also he mentioned in his drash, that God trades the firstborn for the Levites, the firstborn sons for the Levites. And the question is, what is that all about? Because it's a little bit odd. And the reason is that in the ancient world, the firstborn sons were actually a privileged class. Depending on which country you were from, they either received a full inheritance from their family or they received a double inheritance. But in the scriptures, the first for God is actually always important. Thus, we have the Feast of First Fruits. The Feast of First Fruits of the barley harvest is actually celebrated during Passover. It's not really celebrated anymore. The Feast of First Fruits of the wheat harvest is celebrated at Shavuot, and it's part of the Shavuot celebration, the Feast of Weeks. Firstborn animals in the scriptures are the ones that are given over to the Lord. And in Exodus, God claims the firstborn sons for himself. And he makes an interesting statement here in the Numbers passage that David read here earlier today, that he raises the bar, in a sense, for why the firstborn sons of Israel are given over to the Lord. And he says it's because I took the firstborn of the Egyptians. So in other words, in a sense, the firstborn of the Egyptians was a type of sacrifice for the people and so forth. And so it's kind of a quid pro quo. The Lord requires the Israelites to also give the firstborn sons over to the Lord as well. Obviously not for a sacrifice, but as a giving over to him, a dedication to him. The problem is that when you give over your firstborn sons, especially in the ancient world, it's very disruptive. First of all, it interrupts with family inheritance plans, and in the ancient world, the tribes had very specific inheritances, so it created problems there. It also becomes very burdensome on the family for farming, because most of the people were farmers. And so consequently, if the firstborn sons are suddenly plucked away from the family, what ends up happening is it creates chaos for the family structure. So God makes a trade, like a baseball trade, right? And the trade is the Levites, one full tribe for each of the firstborn. The Levites belong to the Lord, and the firstborn are allowed to return to their families. But it's not an even trade. It's not like just one Levite for one firstborn. But rather, in this particular case, the firstborn also have to come with compensation. Like a trade that you would have between two baseball players, one is better than the other. So sometimes you add a little money in to make it a little more even. And the same is true here. There's money that's added in for the firstborn. And it's celebrated in Jewish tradition to this day. Who knows what that is? What is the celebration of the firstborn? Right, Pidyon HaBen, the redemption of the firstborn, where you actually have to give five silver coins over to a Kohen. By the way, I'm a Kohen here, so you know I'm happy to take anybody's silver coins. But that's beside the point. But unlike the trade for the babe, this turns out to be a good trade because all the parties gain in this particular trade. The families gain because they get a returning son. The Lord gains because the whole tribe is trained in service to him, and so they don't have to kind of like always have to start over again. These are the people that are always trained and ready to serve the Lord. But the Levites also gain. They're winners as well. And yes, it's true, they don't have land like the other tribes would have land, but they have the Lord. And a Levite in the scriptures, and later on in the book of Psalms, Psalm 84, this is what the Levite wrote about serving the Lord. He says, "Better is one day in your court than a thousand elsewhere." So in other words, even though the Levites are giving up land and inheritance, they're gaining the Lord. And so it's a tremendous gain. God is in the trading business. And maybe that's why Jewish people historically have been so good at trading, because he himself is a good trader. In fact, let's look at a few examples in the scriptures of where the Lord trades, makes various trades. First case is the story of Abraham. Abraham, God trades with Abraham. He says, look, if you give up your family, you give up your home, your country, I'm going to make you into a great nation. And in Jewish tradition, it is believed that the Lord actually offered the Torah and the chosenness of the Jewish people to many other nations, and all of them refused except for Abraham. And so, as a consequence, he follows through, and it was a great trade. God traded with Moses. There's an interesting, you know, we all know Moses, of course, was raised in Egypt and so on, but there's an interesting New Testament midrash on Moses, and this is what it says about him in Egypt. It says, he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. You know, after Moses made the trade, remember he trades to follow his people, things don't look too good for a while. It's like a bad baseball trade, kind of gone awry. And remember, Moses is wandering around the wilderness for 40 years after he makes this trade to follow the Lord and to follow his people. But in the end, of course, we know that the trade becomes very positive because he returns as a savior for his people. God traded with Yeshua. He asked him to lay down his life for his people. But through it, it gave him, according to the scriptures, gave him a name that is above every name, so that the name of Yeshua every knee should bow. And today, God is trading with David. Let's see, where are you, David? You're out there somewhere. Downstairs. He's downstairs. How do you like that? Okay, it's already begun. Bad beginning. I'm just kidding. God is trading with David. Now, it's Jewish tradition says this, that a boy becomes a bar mitzvah at 13, regardless of whether he actually comes to the Torah or not. And it just happens automatically. But regardless of the tradition, not everyone follows the Lord. Even those that come to the Torah, they decide to go their own way and so forth. In fact, I heard an interesting story. Some of you may have heard this before, but I heard an interesting story about there was a rabbi and a priest, and they had this terrible problem with mice, one in the synagogue and the other in the church. And so they would collect these mice, and they would bring them out to the field. And they got to meet one another as they dropped these mice off in the field and so on and so forth. And so they began to discuss the problems, how to deal with these mice, exterminators and so on. Nothing seemed to resolve itself. And after a period of a number of months, all of a sudden the priest stopped seeing the rabbi. He became concerned. You know, what's happened to this guy? What's happened to the rabbi? Maybe he's become ill or he's died or, you know, whatever the situation is. So he decides to visit the synagogue. And he says he finds the rabbi there in health, and he says, "Rabbi, I've been looking for you. You haven't been around in months, and you know I was very concerned about you." And he says, "You know what happened?" And he said, "Oh, I resolved the mouse problem. And how did you resolve it? I basically bar mitzvahed all the mice, and they didn't come back. That was the end of it." So that's what so often happens, unfortunately, in our tradition, is that the children are raised in the Lord, but they'd never really follow through. They never really go all the way. And that's the real tragedy. Now, David is serious. You can tell from what he shared here today. You can tell from his words. But the bar mitzvah is a time for a trade. It's really a time that God is making a trade. And it's really what it is it's when a boy or girl is ready to play in the big leagues. That's what this is really about. I talked to the youth group this week, and I said to them this, I said, something happens when at the bar bat mitzvah. And yes, it's interesting, of course, that a bar bat mitzvah occurs during early teenage years. And of course, boys and girls are changing physically, physiologically, through puberty and adolescence and so on. But they're also changing spiritually. And the time of a bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah can be a time of transformation. And the reason is that, as you know, teens are faced especially young teens, are faced with incredible choices these days. Very difficult choices, and wherever they go and wherever they are. And they're often pulled in different directions. And this is the difficulty. I've seen some teens choose the wrong direction. They choose a life of drinking and drugs and sexual promiscuity. And sometimes, for many of them, their lives are forever altered. It's really very sad. I've seen other teens choose a very positive direction, to follow the Lord, seek out an education, put together a good career, have a solid marriage. And yes, it's true that, David, now that you're 13 and now that you've been bar mitzvahed, it's true for all the rest of us, is that it's true that our parents continue to play a role in our lives, but far less so when you become a teenager and later. Now, the choice for our lives is often taken upon ourselves for direction. It's interesting that Bruce shared this in his prayer over David today, but it's as if that the Joshua, the great leader, early leader of the Jewish people, it's as if he was standing here today, and at the end of his career, when he brought all of the Israelites into the promised land, he said this very thing: choose this day whom you will serve. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Yeshua said this: the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have an abundant life. You see, this is part of the reason why we have the family members and others come up and pray and bless David. Because this event is supposed to be transformational. This is not something where we just remember the good party. And parties are great. For everybody that knows, I enjoy partying. And parties are wonderful. But most importantly, this event is supposed to be transformational. So that David walks from this time on as a new and a different person. And just as many people attested to today, including myself, we've seen a change in his life over the last few months that is rather remarkable. It's an incredible time. For many, including myself, we have a pleasant memory of the past when we were bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah. Some of us remember Hebrew from years ago when we went through that. We remember a nice party and so forth. But it's, for many of us, it does not have the pivotal impact that it's supposed to have. And I would just say this to everybody in here, in conclusion: it's never too late. It's never too late to enter into what God has for you. You see, God is still in the trading business. He wants to trade all the time. All of us have regrets to some degree, including myself. We all have things that we wish could be undone. There's things, decisions that we've made, events that have happened that we wish we could certainly undo. And some of these things sometimes are very painful. But it doesn't change what God told the prophet Joel long ago, where he said, I will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. God is in the restoration business. It's never too late to trade with the Lord. And this is my question to you. Will you trade with God? Will you give him a chance? I can guarantee it. It won't be Babe Ruth all over again. Rather, this time, you're not going to lose. This time, you'll be a winner. Because when you trade with God, you always win. Let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this time together, that we can sit here and we can honor you, Lord, and we can be grateful and honor a young man among us, Lord, who's done such a wonderful job, Lord. But Father, I just pray that each of us would follow his words, Lord. We would look deep into our own hearts, and we would recognize, Lord, that just like the Levites had to make sure that the temple was purified and holy for your presence, so we too need to make sure our lives are in a right place with you, Lord God. Father, I pray that you would shine your light upon us, Lord. If we know, people in here know they haven't been walking according to the path that you've given them, Lord. Father, I pray that you would cause them to turn back to you this day, Lord. Let this be a pivotal time, not just for David, but for everybody in this room, a time to turn to you, receive all that you have for each of us, O God. And in Yeshua's name we pray. Amen and amen. I'm going to close with the Aaronic benediction, and then I'll kind of give directions from there as to what we will be doing. Yivarechech Adonai v'yishmerecha Yared Adonai panav elecha v'ichunecha Yisar Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace through the Prince of Peace, through Yeshua the Messiah. We all said, amen. Shabbat shalom, everyone. We have a special oneg downstairs for David and his family. We have the bookstore will be open for visitors and so on. And if anybody needs prayer, please feel free to come forward and receive it at that time. Thank you.